Welcome to the Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans, and on today's show I have joining me Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who is a regular contributor to endtimes.com. He has written over 30 books on the end times, and he is the senior pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. On today's show, we're talking about current events in the news concerning the ongoing war in Israel, with a special focus today on Iran. You're going to want to hear what we have to say. Some very important things are happening regarding Israel and Iran. In the subscriber portion, Mark and I will also be answering questions such as, will Christians see the rebuilding of the temple before we're raptured? Will Christians go through the tribulation, as some Bible teachers claim? One person wrote in a question saying that a very respected Bible teacher was teaching that we're going to go through the tribulation. Mark and I will be talking about that. Another question, will we be married to our current spouses, or our spouses have already died and gone to heaven? And another question, if Satan is cast out of heaven in Revelation 12, is he still there right now, and how is he spreading evil if he's in heaven? So those are some of the questions that we're going to be answering. I am so glad that you've joined us today, and I also want to welcome right now Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Mark, thank you for joining me.
Well, great to be with you again, as always.
Well, we're going to talk about what's happening in the news related to Israel. We're especially going to be talking about Iran. Let me just mention to everyone, we wrote this book that came out right after October 7th called What's Next? The Israel-Gaza War. And so this talks about what happened related to Israel before the war, during the war, and now after the war, prophetically, the significance of it. And really and truly, you know, what we're seeing in the world right now today, Mark, this is prophecy on steroids. It's just everything is, the labor pangs are intense, and Bible prophecy is just happening right before our very eyes.
Yeah, there's, people years ago have always said, well, you know, people always said, you know, Jesus is coming back, and, you know, they'll say, you know, people have been saying this forever, but it's the unbelievable convergence of so many things that are happening before our eyes that, yes, you know, we wake up every day and are surprised we're still here, you know, the way the world is headed. So, yeah, it's what's happening in our world today. We're going to talk about a lot of that today, and I'll do some more of it on my show as well. But, you know, you really, it's not, you know, like you're looking for things to talk about. It's you're trying to sift through the things and see what's the most important thing to talk about. There's so many things to talk about.
Yeah, on so many different levels. So, We both look for articles when we do these shows together. I'm going to start out with this article. The UN Security Council adopts call for Gaza ceasefire, hostage release as U.S. abstains. And this is the Times of Israel. I'll read just a little bit of this. The United Nations Security Council passed a resolution on Monday demanding an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip and the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, after the United States withheld its veto and abstained from the vote. It was the first time that the Security Council passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza since the start of the war in October. Resolution 2728 is understood to be non-binding and is not expected to have an immediate impact on the ongoing fighting in Gaza, as has been the case with previous Security Council resolutions that have been adopted in other conflicts that were subsequently ignored. Now, the United States was trying to pass a resolution that bound Hamas to these talks that are happening in Qatar and also in Egypt, and also connecting the ceasefire resolution with the return of the hostages. And so China and Russia vetoed that resolution a week ago. Now the Security Council of the United Nations has passed a resolution calling for the immediate ceasefire and the release of the hostages, but it's non-binding. And the ceasefire is not conditioned on the release of the hostages. So it's really kind of a wimpy resolution, and they can't enforce this. And so what's going to happen is Israel's going to keep going to war with Hamas, and Hamas is not going to let the prisoners go. And so it really doesn't mean a lot. But one of the things that you notice, and we're talking about Iran a lot in this show, they have censured Israel more than all other nations of the world combined in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. And this is another example. Iran is literally getting away with murder, and the United Nations has nothing to do with it. And we're going to read another article here in just a minute, and I'm going to talk about some of the things that we've done for Iran, the United States has done for Iran in this past month. But the United Nations, the end of this age, and I want to make sure you agree with this because I think this is pretty obvious, that at the end of this age, the United Nations is going to muster forces against Israel. And it's not going to be a non-binding resolution. It's going to be a binding, unanimous resolution to come and take Jerusalem away from the Jews. Do you agree with that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's all the nations are going to come against Israel. Yeah. You know, the book of Zechariah tells us that, you know, the campaign of Armageddon is when it's going to take place. So
this is the first, this is another indication from the United Nations of how much they despise Israel. And the Guterres, who is the Secretary General of the United Nations, he's continually come out rebuking Israel and protecting Hamas and saying that this didn't happen in a vacuum and things like that. So go ahead. You have another article there you want to read.
Well, just one thing I wanted to mention. This resolution didn't condemn Hamas.
Right.
But I think the major takeaway in this is just this symbolic gesture of the United States abstaining from this vote. It's the first time this kind of thing has happened. And so it's just it's a further evidence of the slippage and the rupture that's happening between the U.S. and Israel, which is going to place us on very, very, very dangerous footing. So I think, you know, sure, it's non-binding. Israel's going to go ahead and go forward with all this. But the symbolism of this, of the U.S. abstaining from it, I think is very, very significant, yeah. Very sobering.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a couple of articles here about Iran also, you know, kind of the same things like you're mentioning there. You know, there's an article in the Jerusalem Post or in the Times of Israel says Shin Bet says it foiled Iranian plot to smuggle advanced weapons to West Bank terrorists. And they have a picture there of just all these weapons laid out there. It says the Shin Bet Security Agency, which is in Israel, said Monday said it had foiled attempts by Iran to smuggle large amounts of advanced weapons to terrorist operatives in the West Bank to be used in attacks on Israeli targets. And it goes on and lists all these, you know, weapons that were, you know, fragmentation bombs, anti-tank landmines, grenade launchers, you know, just all kinds of weapons. And so, you know, Iran obviously is behind what's happening with Hamas. They're trying to get these weapons into the West Bank. They're behind what's called the Axis of Resistance, all these militia groups in Lebanon, Syria. They're behind what's happening with the Houthis, with Hezbollah, all of this that's taking place. So it's just a constant coordinated effort by Iran to get weapons then into the West Bank. They can't get anything into Gaza now. And, you know, the Israelis were able to stop this one, but you know, how many more times have they gotten things in there that's not been able to be foiled? And so another article, too, related to Iran, I'll just mention real quickly, is in the Jerusalem Post. Iran is now kind of has out on the market a new unmanned aerial vehicle, a drone. It's a turbojet that can carry 13 bombs. And it has a distance of thousands of kilometers, which could reach Israel. But it shows where their sentiments are. They've called this new drone the Gaza drone. And so Iran today is basically a Middle Eastern arms dealer, and they're marketing these weapons that they have now. They're marketing their military arsenal. And Russia, of course, is one of the main customers as well, which takes us again back to the whole Ezekiel 38-39 scenario. But it's just more and more things happening with Iran. And I think to me, what this shows is one of these days, Israel's going to have to deal with Iran. They're going to have to kind of cut off the head of the snake. And that's going to be really the ultimate precursor, I think, to what the Bible predicts in Ezekiel 38.
Well, that goes perfectly with my next article, because that's exactly, this is from the Jewish News Syndicate, and it says, Hamas attack, weapon of mass distraction as Iran nuke program advances. And this is from Karen Smilk. But listen to what this says, Mark. And this is from one of the top Jewish leaders. Israel needs to be prepared for the possibility of conducting high-intensity strikes on Hezbollah in Lebanon and on Iran's nuclear program simultaneously, a former senior Israeli defense official told JNS in recent days. Brigadier General Professor Jacob Nagel, former acting national security advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and ex-head of Israel's National Security Council, is currently a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a professor at the Technion Israel Institute of Technology in Haifa. Nagel raised the possibility of a multi-staged Iranian strategy to go nuclear involving regional proxies keeping Israel and the world distracted with conflicts. And he says, Iran may have activated a weapon of mass distraction in order to make progress on building weapons of mass destruction, its nuclear program, said Nagel. The possibility of a long-term Iranian plan with a secret timetable in multiple stages must be taken seriously. And he says, in the future possible third stage, Hezbollah becomes involved in a full-scale war, and a potential fourth stage, Iran taking advantage of the distraction, races ahead with this nuclear program. And so what he's saying is, this is a top guy in Israel, and he's saying Israel has to be prepared right now to deal with Hezbollah, because this has already started, and to strike Iran's nuclear capabilities at the same time, because what he's saying is an advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu and the head of this defense agency, he's saying that Iran is using Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and all of this as a distraction to the world while they make weapons of mass destruction. Now, the International Atomic Energy Agency about 10 years ago was put in charge of making sure that Iran never got weapons of mass destruction, okay, never got nuclear weapons. They came out about 2 months ago, the IAEA did. Iran has defied them. They've defied the entire world. They took the cameras out of their nuclear sites. They wouldn't let the inspectors in. And about 2 months ago, the International Atomic Agency Commission said that they don't know what's happening with Iran's nuclear program. They have no idea. And so right now, they're already at 60% enriched uranium. And what he is saying in this article, later in this article, is it takes very little time to get from 60 to 90%. And so Iran has masterfully surrounded Israel, the Houthis, the Palestinians in the West Bank, the Islamic Jihad in Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas. They have surrounded them with all these enemies that are attacking them on a daily basis while they're sitting over here developing nuclear weapons. And this is an existential threat to Israel that they simply can't ignore. In my book, Tipping Point, 2 years ago, I said Israel will strike Iran at some point if somebody else doesn't, because Iran is not going to stop their ambitions for nuclear power, and Israel cannot afford to let them do that. But think of the situation that Israel's in right now and how much worse it gets if they bomb Iran.
No, that's right. You said we don't really know what the, you know, the International Atomic Energy, Atomic Energy Agency, they don't know what's going on over there. Well, I think we all know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
You know, Iran is very shrewd. This kind of distraction, but also they distract and build, but also, you know, for many, many years, they used a different strategy, talk and build.
Right.
You know, they were just constantly talking, drawing out these negotiations. So all the time that all the talking's happening, they're building. And now the time all this distraction is happening, they're building. So they're doing everything they can to put up a kind of a smoke screen camouflage while they're doing what they want to do. But they're suffering no consequences for it.
No.
You know, they have some economic sanctions that have been put on them, but those have been lessened. And so they're selling things to Russia. They're involved with China. So they're not feeling the pinch of this. And so Israel ultimately is going to have to hit them where they'll feel the consequences of this. But when that happens, it's going to, you know, who knows what dominoes then will begin to fall at that point in time. It'll be all bets will be off at that point.
Exactly. Well, later in the article, it says on March 15th, Washington reissued a $10 billion Iran sanctions waiver that allows Iran to access revenue from its electricity sales to Iraq. And so the Biden administration has released billions and billions of dollars to Iran that they wouldn't have gotten through the sanctions. And now, in spite of everything that they're doing, they're the ones responsible for October 7th. They're the ones responsible for everything that's happening right now. No consequences whatsoever. $10 billion. On March 4th, this article says, Reuters, quoting unnamed diplomats, said a quarterly meeting of the IAEA's main policymaking body saw Western powers again choosing not to seriously confront Iran over its failure to cooperate with the agency on a range of issues. And so the IAEA is basically just turning a blind eye and just saying there's nothing we can do about it. And then it says Nagel assessed that the United States and Europe will never attack Iran's nuclear program, adding that the sanctions relief being offered to Iran aligns well with Tehran's intention to continue with creeping nuclear progress. Hence, Israel must be ready for anything, for being able to strike the enrichment part of the program, but also for being able to strike the weapons system part of it. So he's saying in this article here, we're giving them billions of dollars. The IAEA is completely worthless. And see, the United States, and President Trump said this, President Biden has said it too, under no circumstances will we ever allow Iran to become a nuclear power. Well, the only way you can keep them from doing that now is physically going in there and making sure it doesn't happen. Well, they're not going to do that. That's what he's saying in this article. They're not going to do that. So because of that, Israel has to be prepared. So Jeremiah 49 is a prophecy of the destruction, the utter destruction of Elam. Elam is southern Iran. And Elam is where they have their launchers and a lot of their nuclear reactors and nuclear facilities are in southern Iran. And so if Israel struck Iran to stop them, that's basically where they would strike in fulfillment of Jeremiah 49. If that's what happens, it's going to happen. It's never happened before in world history. But I have wondered, Mark, and this is a wondering, but I have wondered in Ezekiel 38, where it says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw and drag you down to the mountains of Israel. See, Russia has continually warned Israel and the United States of what would happen if they attacked Iran. And basically, they're saying, of course, they're getting a lot of weapons from Iran right now. And so they're very, very closely knit. So I wonder if the hook in the jaw, if Israel bombed Iran, if that would be either the hook in the jaw or part of what would happen to cause Ezekiel 38 and 39.
No, I agree with that. I think I've heard people say that before. You know, I think General Boykin years ago kind of made that same comment that, you know, that could be these hooks in the jaws with Russia. Because, yeah, Russia's, you know, they're violating all these international sanctions, getting oil from Iran, getting weapons from Iran. They're helping Iran as well, sending them advanced aircraft. So, yeah, they're totally, joined together. And Russia, you know, wouldn't want to come in probably and invade Iran or invade Israel on their own. But you're right. I mean, if they're that tied in with Iran, that could easily be the catalyst for them to do that. And so, you know, the Russia and Iran together, you know, they're mentioned there in Ezekiel 38, 2600 years ago. What a proof of the truth of the Bible. You have these two nations mentioned right next to each other 2500 years ago, and here they are today. But I think it's likely that that will be what will somehow precipitate this. But, you know, Iran hates Israel with a passion. They're their greatest enemy. But if Israel hits Iran, we can only imagine how that will accelerate that hatred. And they'll want payback. And that will be, I think, what will happen when Ezekiel 38, 39 takes place. It'll be a payback for what's taken place.
Well, in 2022, I believe it was in 2022, Israel had a massive military exercise called Chariots of Fire. And they practiced bombing Iran, and they put 5 billion shekels in their budget for bombing Iran and then protecting their borders, because they know that all heaven's going to break loose when they do that. And so this is something that they have been looking at for a long time, but it's in the news. And top military officials, top diplomats from Israel are saying, we have to be ready now to do this because the IAEA isn't going to do it. The United States and Europe, they're not going to do it. And they're sitting over here using this as a weapon of mass distraction while they're sitting over here doing this. And by the way, North Korea became nuclear with the entire world watching them, telling them not to do it. And so the world is pretty wimpy. When it comes to staring down someone, they get pretty wimpy about it. Israel is not wimpy. They have to fight for their very survival. One strike. Now, Iran has a hypersonic missile, by the way, with basically Israel's name on it, a hypersonic missile that can reach Israel in 400 seconds. That's 6.66 minutes. So if they had a nuclear payload and they fired that hypersonic missile, I mean, it's just, if it strikes, you know, this tiny little nation of Israel, I mean, it's game, set, and match right there. So this is serious.
No, yeah, you know, Israel's going to have to do something. And the United States, you know, we've said over and over again, we're not going to let Iran get nuclear weapons. You're right. I mean, we sat by and let North Korea do it because the consequences of us hitting Iran, what that would set off in the Middle East, I think that they know they've taken all their calculations. They believe that we won't do anything ultimately. That's what I think they believe. And so I think they've factored that into their calculus. I think they do believe Israel will do something, but Israel will be much less of a, you know, of a power for them to deal with than the United States will be. Now, you know, if Israel does that and Iran begins to come against Israel, that may drag us into it. You know, that could be a hooks and jaws that drags the United States into this as well. You know, but the United States, we're not going to do anything. I'm sad to say that as an American, but I really don't think. Certainly the current administration, maybe if there's a change, maybe it would be a legitimate threat. But I don't even think then that it will either.
So, Mark, the current events that are happening right now in Israel are the pressure cooker is there. It's not going to go away. It's just going to get worse. Do you agree with that?
Sure. Yeah, it's ratcheting up right now. It's unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, it's just, you know, basically these nations have encircled them. It's like a noose that's tightening around Israel. Yeah. And ultimately, all of it comes from Iran. And they're going to have to act and hit Iran. And, you know, as we've said, you know, that's going to set off a Middle East firestorm unlike we've never seen before.
That's right. Well, we wrote the book, What's Next, the Israel-Gaza War. Anyone's interested in that, talking about what's happening right now and the prophetic implications of that. This is in a series called What's Next. We have another book you and I are writing together right now that'll be out in a month or two, and it's on the Antichrist. And because one of the things I believe that's about to happen, see, everything gets worse until it gets a lot better when the Antichrist shows up. The Psalm 83, what's going on right now could be a fulfillment of Psalm 83, Jeremiah 49, Ezekiel 38 and 39. You have wars going on whenever they occur, but things are going to get worse, but there's going to be an answer man that steps onto the scene. I believe he's alive. I believe he's an adult. I believe he's on the world stage right now. That's my opinion. And I believe this is the type of a scenario, because the Antichrist is the savior of the world at the moment that he steps up and brokers this deal with Israel. And he confirms a covenant with them, Daniel chapter 9, and they then enter into this 3.5-year period of peace that they haven't had before. The world then, you know, celebrates this genius, this diplomatic genius that steps onto the world scene. Do you believe that what's being set up right now ultimately will come to fulfillment with the Antichrist?
Sure. Yeah, you know, we've had those Abraham Accords, and that's been kind of been set aside right now, but that looked like kind of a precursor to this. But with the situation that's over there, the whole world is focused on this. You know, the UN's passing these various resolutions. People are looking for someone. We have been really since 1948 to come and bring some kind of lasting peace to that part of the world. And that's one of the key signs of the end times, I think, is just the constant turmoil in Israel and this clamoring and yearning for peace. And the event that starts the 7-year tribulation, you know, the rapture doesn't start the tribulation period. A lot of people are kind of mistaken about that. I think, you know, the rapture begins. No, the rapture takes place sometime after the rapture. The Antichrist is able to broker this peace agreement between Israel and these nations that they've been at war with for, you know, now for 50 years, for 70 years. And, you know, he's going to be, yeah, the man with a plan, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. I mean, he's going to, you know, be the, you know, the Time Person of the Year. I mean, he's going to have it all. And that's what's going to catapult him ultimately to power. Now, ultimately, he'll double cross Israel, but everything's headed towards that. And we can see it's just reaching this crisis point where someone is going to have to come along and solve that problem. Now, it'll be a temporary peace. It'll be a false peace, but it will be a peace for some period of time. And the whole world will follow after the Antichrist. That's kind of the initial event that really catapults him to power in the world there at the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah, and in our series, What's Next, of books, we're talking about the Antichrist, then we're talking about the rapture, because, again, the things that are happening right now are all Bible prophecy being fulfilled, the world turning against Israel, wars and rumors of wars, all these things like that. But ultimately, the big prophetic events, there's going to be a rapture, and there's going to be an Antichrist. We're writing about that. Mark, you have another article there?
Yes, this one's fascinating to me. This is about this. This was on CBS News. Now, just think about this. It says, what these red cows from Texas have to do with war and peace in the Middle East. And it's an article about, of course, these five, they're Texas red Angus that were taken over to Israel, these red heifers. And what the article's saying is, you know, time's beginning to kind of run out because these heifers have to be a certain age when they're sacrificed. And we have to have these red heifers. It goes back to Numbers chapter 19, this purification ceremony there of these red heifers that would be burned, and their ashes were used in purification ceremony. But you have to have those for the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple. They're there in Israel now, these red heifers. But this is something that I didn't know until just this week. It says in this article from CBS, it says, when Hamas spokesman Abu Abaida began a speech marking the 100th day of the war in Gaza, one confounding yet eye-opening proclamation escaped the headlines. Listing the motives for the Palestinian militant group's October 7th massacre in Israel, he accused Jews of bringing red cows to the Holy Land. So one of the things that precipitated this was bringing these red heifers to Israel, because the Hamas knows the significance of that, that points to a third temple, of course. And one of the, you know, that they called this in this massacre in October 7th, the Al-Aqsa wave or the Al-Aqsa flood. And of course, the Al-Aqsa mosque stands there on the Temple Mount, as does the Dome of the Rock. And Hamas, one of their emblems, one of their main emblems, features the Dome of the Rock behind two crossed swords. And so the Jewish people, at least those who were there who are desiring to build this third temple, have these red heifers there. And some believe that they may be sacrificed this year at Passover. They have to do it with the, they have to do it in a place where they can see the Temple Mount. So it'd be there on the Mount of Olives. A piece of land has been purchased there. Passover this year is April 22nd. So it could be that sometime between now and then, or around the time of Passover, that one or more of these red heifers will be sacrificed. So there's only been 9 red heifers in Israel's history. This would be the 10th. But to me, that's fascinating that among these motivations for this October 7th massacre is Israel brought red cows into the land of Israel. They know what that signifies. And they hate that. They know that the Jews want to ultimately build a temple there, that it's going to mean, you know, that their third holy site, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, would have to be removed and have to be destroyed. So it's just another thing that we see happening in our world today that points just towards the chaos and ultimately the land of Israel. But then the bullseye in Israel is Jerusalem, and the bullseye in Jerusalem is that 36-acre Temple Mount area. That's the real powder keg, if you will. And so, you know, we'll be watching this for folks and letting them know, you know, if something happens over there with the sacrificing these red heifers. But that would be a very, very significant event when that takes place, I believe.
Well, Mark, that's absolutely fascinating. And I can just say, next week on the show, we have an entire show on the red heifers. Mondo Gonzalez has written a book on it. And he confirms now, this will be part of the show next week, they have 3 kosher red heifers. Last November, they came of age to be examined by the priest. And they have 3 perfect red heifers. They only have to have one. And they are, what you just said is true, they're looking for sometime from Passover to Pentecost, sometime in that range. It would be the 10th red heifer, according to Maimonides. It would usher in the era of the Messiah. And so, and again, Mark, you know, it's not just that that's happening. It's that everything is happening. You just see there's such a convergence, as you said earlier, there's such a convergence of everything. But if they actually, there's only been 9 since Moses, and this would be the 10th, and it would give them the ability to ceremonially cleanse the Temple Mount and the priest. They have everything ready. You've been over there. You've seen everything. I have too. They have everything ready, but the deal with the Antichrist is going to give them, obviously, the ability to build the third temple. But it just, to me, it just marks how close we are.
Yeah, and the fact that Hamas, that's part of their motivation. They brought the red cows into Israel. That's what Hamas saying that. So, wow, that was powerful when I saw that. I mean, wow, you know, it's just Hamas themselves. You know, they realize the significance of this for their future, for their mosque.
Yeah, the sadness, and Mondo and I talk about this next week, the sadness of the red heifers is they're a fulfillment of Jesus. You know, in Numbers 19, the red heifer is just a type of Jesus, you know, that was slaughtered for our sins outside the camp. And the book of Hebrews talks about that. And so the sadness is they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. The exciting thing is they will all be saved in one day, according to Zechariah 13. And that is going to happen sometime soon. But it is a huge issue related to Bible prophecy. Do you have any other articles there?
No, that's all I've got. I mean, just, you know, another article, there's one in Newsweek we've talked about already. Just Israel, Iran is kind of a opening up four fronts, basically. We've talked about that already, but that's part of their issue, kind of this you mentioned the distract and build. But they just keep opening up new fronts. You know, the Houthis have been firing missiles into Eilat, which is the southernmost city there in Israel, right on the Red Sea. So it's, you know, they're not far from there. So it's just, you know, a constant stranglehold here. But that's an interesting article in Newsweek, a four-front war now that they've opened up. You've been worried about two fronts. Now it's four fronts.
All of you who are joining us on YouTube, hope that you have enjoyed this. We're going to go to the subscriber portion of the program right now, and we're going to be answering some questions. Mark, thank you so much for being with me today. That is great information, great insight. And I want to say, you're watching on YouTube right now, and if you're not a subscriber to endtimes.com, I hope you're a subscriber to Tipping Point on YouTube. If you aren't, just hit the button right now and subscribe. You'll get all of our information that comes out on YouTube. But we have my podcast, the one that you're watching a part of it right now. You can get the entire podcast without commercials for $7 a month. Also, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who you just saw there, he also has a podcast that comes out every Thursday called Marking the Times. And so we have several podcasts a week. We answer questions on every Friday. I have a devotional that comes out every Sunday called A Good Word. It's worth a lot more than $7, but for $7 a month, you can get everything that we have. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. So if you're not a subscriber, go to endtimes.com right now and subscribe. I'm glad that you've joined me today. We'll see you next time.